we don't get it now, it's not the end of the world if we have someone that speaks on one of the apps. Oh, there they go.
Okay, can you turn it up?
Hello. Hello, we can hear you. Could we have your name for the record, please?
Yeah, I can barely hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Could you give us your name for the record, please?
Yeah, John and Jane Ament.
Okay. Is that A-M-E-N-T?
That's correct. I can barely hear you, but...
Okay. Is anyone else having trouble hearing me?
No, it's record.
Oh, take that. I think you sound good.
Okay. John and Jane, you might need to turn the volume up on your device.
Well, I did.
Okay. I will try to speak up as best I can.
Hey, Nate, do you want me to call the meeting to order?
Yes. If you want to call to order, I will read the statement for you on the screen there. I wrote it, so it's from my perspective.
Okay.
And then we'll go ahead and move through the agenda.
Okay. I now call this meeting of the Johnson County Zoning Board of Adjustment to order. It's Wednesday, June 17th, 2020 at 5:31.
And in seeking to adhere to Governor Reynolds' State of Public Health Disaster Emergency Proclamation related to COVID-19 community spread mitigation, members of the public are encouraged to join this meeting through an internet connection or telephonically using the website URL https://zoom.us/j/424-323-9669 or one of the following phone numbers: 1-646-876-9923 or 1-312-626-6799 in conjunction with the meeting identification code, which is 424-323-9669. Please follow all telephonic prompts to join the meeting. Using a computer will require that you have an operating computer microphone. County staff will be available to test internet and phone meeting connections starting at 5:20 p.m. Public comments related to any matter on the meeting agenda can also be emailed to jbusard@co.johnson.ia.us for distribution to board members before and during this meeting. Board members Donahue and Ross are participating in this meeting through an internet connection or telephonically. Vice Chairperson Terrell is convening this meeting from the Administrative Boardroom in the Johnson County Administration Building located at 913 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City, Iowa. All board members received staff reports prior to this meeting. PDS Assistant Planner Luke McClanahan is physically in attendance in the meeting room with Dawn. Let the minutes of this meeting reflect that it is being conducted via electronic means for the reasons and circumstances mentioned in the governor's order, which is hereby incorporated by reference. After introductions, we will ask board members Donahue and Ross to confirm that they can hear us and each other before we start on the applications. So with that, we'll go ahead with introductions, and we'll start with Dawn and then go to Dick and Perry.
Dawn Terrell, board member.
Dick Donahue, board member.
Perry Ross, board member.
I am Nate Mueller. I'm the Assistant Director for Planning, Development, Sustainability. Luke
McClanahan, Assistant Planner.
Thank you. Ryan?
Ryan Moss, Assistant County Attorney.
Ryan, just for note, you're very faint coming through there. If you could be a little closer to the mic on next time we need you, if we need you.
How is this? Is this any better?
It is. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And Nancy, please.
Nancy Rock and Seas, Secretary, Planning and Zoning.
Thank you. All right, Dawn, I think we are ready to move ahead with the agenda.
Okay, is there any discussion, approval of the agenda? Do you hear motion?
So moved.
I'll second.
Okay. And then do I have an approval of the minute? of the minutes for May 20th, 2020.
Don, before we move on, we'll need a just an all-in-favor voice vote for approval of the agenda.
I'm sorry. Okay, all-in-favor vote for the agenda?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so is there any discussion or approval of the minutes of the last meeting? Make a motion to approve?
I move to approve the minutes from the last meeting. I forget the date, so
that May 20th, 2020.
Right.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we'll move on to, let's see, update on the board membership?
Yes. Sorry, Don, I'll take it from here.
Okay.
So just so the board members are aware, there was a new bill signed into law on June 1st of this year, which requires that all people serving on the Board of Adjustment and Planning and Zoning Commission must reside in the unincorporated areas of the county. That meant that effective immediately, Candy Evans is no longer eligible to be a member of the board. And as you remember from our May meeting, our other city resident was Eric Christensen, who had actually resigned because he's moving to Mason City. So Candy and Eric's seats are vacant effective immediately, which means we have three of our five members on the board. All three members are here tonight, so we have quorum. And then just a note that it does take three affirmative votes to approve any application before the board. So a 2-1 approval would not result in an application being approved. And then on that note, because Eric was our chairperson, we do need to do election of officers tonight. Currently, we do not have a chair since Eric resigned, and Dawn is the vice chair. So typically the process for this, we just do open nomination from anyone on the board for chairperson. And if that happens to be Dawn, then we'll repeat the process for vice chair. But someone would like to nominate any of your fellow board members for chairperson, we can do that now.
I nominate Dawn for chairperson.
Well, thank you, Perry.
I can second that.
Okay. So what do we do now?
Probably do a roll call vote on that one.
All right.
Donahue.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Terrell.
Aye.
All right, now our vice chair spot is vacant, so we can take a nomination of either Dick or Perry to fill that role.
Either
Dawn,
one of you.
Dawn, you can make a nomination too if you want to force someone's hand like they did for you.
How about it, guys? Which one?
It doesn't matter. I feel qualified, but I haven't had a lot of time on this board, so maybe we ought to go with Perry.
Well, I haven't had a lot of time either, actually. But
I'm open either way. Are you ready?
Well, if Dick's open, let's go with him. He's got a lot of experience, so I nominate Dick.
And I'll second.
Well, thank you.
Do a roll call on that as well.
Ross?
Aye.
Terrell?
Aye.
Donahue?
Aye.
Okay. I think that's it for election of officers. Am I right, Don?
Yep.
Okay.
So.
And then
yep.
Just a brief note on the agenda tonight. There was some language indicated on two of the four applications. Agenda item number one, which was a special exception request, BOA 2027890, was formally withdrawn by the applicant. They're not going to start that building project until next year, so a special exception now would expire before they would start. So they just withdrew that application. And the item listed as agenda item number four, which was conditional use permit BOA 2027892 for a home industry, That one we will actually not be hearing tonight because of a separate bill that was signed into law also on June 1st that says counties cannot require conditional use permits for agricultural experiences. So we feel it would be inappropriate for us to have a hearing for a conditional use permit on a home industry that is very much focused on agricultural experiences and bringing people to a working farm to interact with their livestock and other operations they have going on. So as noted on the agenda, pursuant to the immediate effect of House File 2477, a conditional use permit cannot be required and application BOA 2278 92 will not be heard tonight. So with that, Don, I think we can move ahead with the public hearing on agenda item number two.
Okay. Conditional use permit application BOA 2278 89 of Clifford and Cindy Hoglund. I will open the public hearing on this application BOA 2278 89. Staff has a report for us.
Thank you. So this is a conditional use permit for an auxiliary dwelling unit, which I may refer to as an ADU throughout this presentation. The property is located on the east side of Newberry Avenue Northeast, south and east of its intersections with Highway 382 Northeast, west of the city of Solon. So you can see on the map here, 382 comes out of Solon, and the property is located at the far end, right near the entrance to the Lake McBride Park, which is this teal-colored road network here. The purpose of this request is to enable the applicant to build an addition onto the existing home, which can serve as a separate living quarters for family. So typically what separates an auxiliary dwelling unit from a simple home addition is that usually it's constructed such that there's a lockable door between the two dwelling areas that it can function kind of like a separate apartment, even though it's built onto the same home. So here's a view of the property in question. You can see the existing home runs north-south, and the applicant has indicated that they would build an addition on the back side of the existing home. In talking with the applicant, they have requested 1,225 square feet in the application. They actually kind of have, this is sort of a two-phase plan. Phase one right now would involve remodeling approximately 300 square feet within the existing structure of the home and adding an addition of approximately 300 square feet. So that's the kind of bluish purplish box shown here. That's kind of what we've termed phase one. The area shown in yellow or gold would only be developed in the future if needed. So there's no immediate plans to build out anything in this gold area. That would be for if the applicant wanted to expand this use in the future. So a few details on the request. As mentioned, this is an addition to an existing dwelling. They're planning roughly 600 square feet now and asking for an upper limit of 1,225 square feet. This, as reported by the applicant, this addition would be intended for family use only. They are progressing in age and they plan to sell the home to their children, and then this would potentially be a space that could be used as a kind of a live-in situation as the parents age and may need some assistance in aging in place. They are required to provide one additional parking spot per the ordinance, and there is sufficient space in the driveway to have that additional parking as required outside the right-of-way of Newberry Avenue. This property does access Newberry Avenue, which is a chip seal road with a traffic count of 220 trips per day in the 2018 DOT count. The county engineer had no objections. The health department has reviewed this report, and they are recommending a condition of approval that the applicant upgrade, and in this case it would likely be replacing, the existing wastewater system to serve both the existing home and the proposed addition. So by adding a new bedroom, they would need to upsize the home in order to handle the extra wastewater. And given the age of the existing system, it's likely they'll just need to replace what's there with a new system that's built to code. With that potential condition, which we'll have in our recommendation at the end, the health department has no objections. So just a little bit of analysis. Auxiliary dwelling units are allowed as a conditional use in the RUA zoning district, which is what this property is zoned. And they are subject to some base supplemental conditions in the zoning ordinance. Those are conditions that apply even before the application comes to the Board of Adjustment. So they will always apply to this use, even if the board doesn't specifically assign them as a listed condition on the permit. It's worth noting here, with a little discussion, one of the existing conditions in the ordinance is that the overall size of the auxiliary dwelling unit is limited to either 1,300 square feet or 50% of the gross floor area of the existing primary dwelling, whichever is less. So the applicant initially proposed 1,225 square feet. Based on staff measurements, looking at the building permits that have been issued on this site for this house, we estimate that the current home is approximately 2,300 square feet of gross floor area, finished gross floor square area, and 50% of that would be 1,150 square feet. So just about 75 feet less than what the applicant requested. As I mentioned, I talked with Cliff Hoagland earlier this week, and he mentioned, with that first phase really being all they plan at this time, he didn't see that dropping that upper limit from 1,225 to 1,150 would be an impediment or a problem. That being said, I do know that Luke Hoagland is on the line tonight, so when we get to applicant comment, I'm sure he can provide some input on that as well. Just worth noting that the development goals called for in our comprehensive plan include offering better or more housing density in our existing developed areas, providing a diversity of housing types as opposed to just large single family dwellings, and also finding ways to let or assist residents in aging in place. And staff feels that auxiliary dwelling units are a great mechanism that can achieve all three of these. So we're adding a dwelling unit in an area where there's already housing built. We're not taking farm field out of production. We're not taking out sensitive areas. It's a different type of housing in that it's kind of an apartment style, a family unit style housing. And then obviously the aging in place, being able to be near family, being able to build to either zero entry or ADA specs, anything that they want. So in conclusion, auxiliary dwelling units are allowed as a conditional use, and the conditional approval is to check for things like the parking, the septic capacity, the overall size of the use, et cetera. Staff feels the process has worked well here, as the public health department was able to identify some necessary septic upgrades, and staff feels that the request complies with the review criteria for conditional uses as outlined in the Unified Development Ordinance. Impacts to neighboring properties should be very minimal, if any, as this is a small addition to the existing home, and really the only reason we would have this permit and hearing tonight is because it's going to be set up as an auxiliary dwelling unit. If this was just being constructed as a home addition, there would be no hearing necessary, and they could just get a permit and build the exact same thing. So based on the review criteria outlined in the staff report, staff recommends approval of application BOA 20-27889, subject to the following three conditions. Number one, the applicant complies with all supplemental conditions from 8123D as amended at the time of issuance of this conditional use permit. The maximum gross floor area dedicated to the auxiliary dwelling unit not exceed 1,150 feet square feet. The applicant receive a construction permit for a private sewage disposal system from the Johnson County Public Health prior to the zoning administrator issuing a building permit for any remodel or addition related to the auxiliary dwelling unit. And that's all I have, Dawn, if you want to questions from the board and public comment.
Anybody have any questions for staff?
No, I don't. It looks pretty straightforward.
Okay. At this time, I'll invite the applicant or their representative to speak. Please give your name for the record. Is Luke on here?
Yeah, there we go. You can go ahead, Luke, if you have anything you'd like to add or say.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yeah. This is Luke Hoagland. I don't have anything further to add or say. Just agree with what's been said, that this would be, quote unquote, a mother-in-law suite intended for my parents as they age. My wife is the nurse, so she is capable of, caring for them and that's the only intent of the petition.
Is there any questions to Luke from the board? Is there anyone here who would like to speak on this application, for or against?
This is John and Jane Ament.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Okay. Thank you.
We just in general have an objection to changing the zoning to two separate dwellings on one property in this neighborhood.
Nate, do you have anything to say on that?
Sure. So this request does not change the zoning, and it does not split the property in any way. The dwellings can never be sold or owned separately, and they can never be separated from each other. Kind of the primary use as the house and the conditional use as the auxiliary dwelling unit are tied together. So it's not a situation where we would have a different structure constructed that would somehow be split and add new housing density here, but it would just diversify how many families could live in this particular house.
Right, I guess
the parents and the children would be called different families.
Our concern is just in the future, not what necessarily you all are going to do, but the ones, anybody that would come after, or if there would be a change in ownership of that property, what would happen in the future.
Anybody have a comment on that?
Go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of under the impression that it won't change anything. Even if somebody else comes in and buys it, it's still a home. They can't, they still got to live there. And it's only for family members, correct, Nate?
But no.
It is not restricted to family members. It used to be that there could only be four family members, but that kind of provision is very hard to enforce as state rules have changed and case law has come down kind of saying what local authorities can and cannot call a family. So we moved away from the requirement that it be occupied by family members with the understanding that it's all part of the same structure. And as a conditional use permit, it can be brought back before the board if there's concerns that it's changed and it's being conducted in such a way that it could be a threat to the health, safety, or welfare of neighboring property owners. So as a conditional use permit, it can be rescinded if something starts to go wrong, but for the most part, it's like I said, it's kind of treated as a straightforward use in the residential district.
I guess our concern is that in the future that it may be used for rental or Airbnb or that type of thing.
If the applicants did ever want to do that, they would have to apply for separate permitting through the PDS department. So short-term rentals are subject to other permitting and reviews, and those are only issued on a short-term basis that neighbor complaints can factor into an application being approved or denied. So if they were going to go that route, they would have to go through some additional permitting and reviews.
Okay, that answers our question.
That answers it.
Okay. Sorry, Don. Mr. Hoagland, did those answers or explanations raise any other questions for you? Oh, I think you just went back on.
No, nope, not at all.
Okay, great. Sorry to cut you off there, Don.
That's okay. Is there anyone else who would like to speak on this application?
I'd only add that I think it's great to accommodate older parents in a age in place. I think it's a great idea.
I do too, Dick.
We're getting there.
Yep. This is Ryan Moss. Just as a matter of practice and procedure,
what we try to do is basically collect and solicit public input during the public hearing, and then the chair typically will close the public hearing portion, and then you guys are free to discuss the merits of the application in front of you after the public hearing part is closed.
Okay. So seeing no further speakers from the public.
I'm sorry. Can I interject here? This is Luke McClanahan, and just to be consistent with what is listed on the agenda tonight, I've been in contact with Josh Bussard, our planning director, because he is listed as a point of contact for any additional public comment, and he just messaged me, and he said that he does not have any public comment that he has received for this request tonight.
Okay. So hearing no further speakers or comments, I'll close the public hearing on application BOA 2027889. Okay, now we can have discussion from the board on the application. Any other comments or questions, guys?
I don't have any.
I don't either. Sounds like a good plan.
I agree too. I think it does sound like a good plan. So hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move approval of application BOA 2027889, subject to the following conditions. One, the applicant complies with all the supplemental conditions from 8:1.23D as amended at the time of the issuance of this conditional use permit. Number two, the maximum gross floor area dedicated to the auxiliary dwelling unit not exceed 1,150 square feet. And number three, the applicant received a construction permit for a private sewage disposal system from Johnson County Public Health prior to the zoning administrator issuing a building permit for any remodel or addition related to the auxiliary dwelling unit.
Do I have a second?
I second.
Any further discussion from the board? Hearing none, roll call.
Terrell.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Donahue.
Aye.
Do I hit the gavel again and say it's approved?
You sure can if you want to.
Application BOA 20-27889 is approved.
And just for the note, Luke, if you're still on listening, you can file for the building permit at any time now. You guys do need to have a permit issued within 1 year of this approval date today. And you'll need to work with Dan Kramer at the health department to make sure you get the septic permit to go along with the building permit.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, moving on to the next application is conditional use permit application BOA 2027891 of Andrew and Kaylee Bote. I'm not sure I pronounced your last name right. I'm sorry. I will open the public hearing on this application, BOA 20-27891.
Thanks, Dawn. This is a conditional use request for a bed and breakfast. The property is located on the south side of 120th Street Northeast, east of Curtis Bridge Road Northeast, and that is actually in the intersection that is within the city of Shuiville. So we're very near Shuiville city limits here, as you can see on the location map. And the purpose of this request would be to, it says convert, I think it's better to say utilize, the basement of the existing single family dwelling as a bed and breakfast. Here's a close-in shot of the property in question. It is just over 40 acres. You can see there's an existing house and buildings on roughly the northern third. And here's a closer-in view of the parking and building areas that would be used for this use. You can see the existing home located at the bottom of the screen there. There's obviously, with a lane that long, ample parking for any overnight guests well off the right-of-way of 120th Street, so no concerns about blocking traffic. And then it is in the home where the occupant or where the applicant resides, which is a requirement of a bed and breakfast. A few details on this request. Again, it would convert the basement of the existing dwelling into a B&B. There would be no new structures associated with the use at this time. It would be converting the two basement bedrooms, a living area, and a single bathroom for that short-term use, overnight guests. Sufficient parking has been provided, and the applicant has indicated that currently their operations are weekend bookings only, seasonally approximately April through December. Also worth noting that with the current pandemic going on, I believe they have canceled most or all of their dates through 2020. So this operation would probably pick up maybe later this fall or winter if things open up, but most likely in spring of next year. A note on the roads, it's accessed off 120th Street Northeast, which is a paved road. It does have 2,210 trips per the 2018 DOT count, but we don't have an upper traffic limit on our paved road, so the county engineer had no objections. Health department noted that the current septic system was sized for a three-bedroom house, and the applicant will need to upgrade the existing septic to be able to accommodate five bedrooms, and then they have this as a recommended condition of approval, and with that condition of approval, they have no objections. Being that we're within 2 miles of Shoeyville, this application did have to go to the city of Shoeyville for comment, and the city council has recommended approval. So in conclusion, this appears to comply with all the review criteria for conditional use permits as outlined in the Unified Development Ordinance. Before hosting overnight guests, the applicant will need to do two things. They'll need to upgrade the septic system to accommodate the two additional bedrooms as requested by the health department, and they'll also need to provide a severe weather plan before hosting anybody. As guests are staying in the basement of the home, that should be a pretty simple thing to put together, since that's typically where you go in Iowa severe weather to begin with. So no concerns from staff on getting that in hand. So based on the review criteria outlined in the staff report, staff recommends approval of application BOA 2027891, subject to the following two conditions. Number one, the applicant submit a severe weather plan. Number two, the applicant shall bring the existing septic system into compliance with Johnson County Health Department regulations before allowing any overnight guests. And that's all I have.
Okay, any questions for staff from the board members?
I was just curious that the site plan looked like there's another house halfway on the property line. Ray, yeah, you just went past it. Is that another structure?
Yes, it is. That is another house.
Oh, and it straddles the property line?
Mm-hmm. No, the that vertical line there where the cursor is actually an old property line. The actual property line is a line to the left.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dick. That was an oversight on my graphic here. That blue line is actually the section line.
Okay, so, that's fine.
The property line is this other line over here in the trees.
Okay.
And as a 40-acre piece, having a secondary dwelling on what would have been defined as a farm before January would have been allowed. So there's no concerns that there's a second dwelling there.
Okay, I don't have any more questions.
Harry, did you have anything?
No, I don't have any questions.
Okay, at this time I'll invite the applicant or their representative to speak. Please state your name.
This is Andy and Kaylee Boutte. We don't have to come in. Nate represented it well.
Okay, board members, any questions for him?
I don't have any.
No.
Okay. Is there anyone else here to speak on this application for or against?
Looks like it's just staff in the room yet with Andy and the board. Luke, have you heard from Josh? Do we have any comments? Has he gotten any email comments?
I just sent Josh another message, and he says no public comments that he has received.
Okay. So seeing no further speakers from the public, I will close the public hearing on application BOA 2027891. Okay, is there any discussion from the board?
Seems to be pretty straightforward. I think
I don't have any issues or questions with it.
I don't have it.
Okay, so hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Go for it, Barry.
Okay. I move approval of application BOA 2027891, subject to the following conditions. The applicant submit a severe weather plan, and the applicant shall bring the existing septic system into compliance with the Johnson County Health Department regulations before allowing any overnight guests.
I second it.
Okay. Any further discussion from the board? Okay. Hearing none, roll call.
Ross.
Aye.
Donahue.
Aye.
Terrell.
Aye. So, conditional use permit application BOA 2027891 has been approved. All right. Any other business?
I would just note, based on our discussion earlier about being down to three board members, we can only have a meeting if all three of you can attend until the supervisors are able to fill those other two spots. So if you have any planned vacations or absences this summer that you know about that would conflict with our normal meeting on the third Wednesday of the month, I would ask you please let Julia know so we can work to maybe find an alternative meeting date that works with all three of your schedules.
Okay, I might have a problem coming up here in July, but I'll check it out and let you know.
Okay, if you could just email email Julia if you know you're going to be gone, we can try to find another day for that
okay.
meeting, either probably the week after if
okay.
you're going to be gone that week. But
okay. All right, I make a motion to... What do I make a motion?
I think there, unless there's other business from Ryan or the other board members, I think we can have a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I move we adjourn.
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye, folks.